We're continuing on with our sermon series here at SBC. We've been studying the book of Ephesians, this New Testament letter of Paul to the people of Ephesus and to the community that he was serving. We're calling it Imperfect Saints. And that's really what Paul is talking about in this book. He's training and equipping these people in Ephesus to know who they are and what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. We sometimes see, or at least I do, see that word saint, and I think, you know, that's like top shelf Christian, and like most of us are like bottom shelf Christians. Like there's a lot of distance between that word and us. But it's just not true. It's just not true. Last week we heard Pastor Kelly talk about, we heard it in the scripture, at the first part of chapter 4 of Ephesians, that we, the church's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's not just a few people, that's all of us. All of us are saints because God has made us righteous in Jesus Christ. And he has called us and equips us to go out and serve him in ministry. And so that's what our job is. That's what the church's job is. That's what our job is as disciples, to be equipped to be the saints on behalf of Jesus Christ for the world. The first three chapters of Ephesians, if you have been following along, are sort of to convince the Ephesians that that's who they are. Right, it's a lot of theological background for them of who God has made them in Christ Jesus. The last three chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6 are more the to-dos. Right? Okay, this is how you do it. Last week we heard from Pastor Kelly about that we need each other, that we need unity in the body of Christ, that we need one another to be saints, imperfect saints for him. That's why small groups are so important. That's why community, that's why church is so important. Today, we're going to get to the next to-do, and this next to-do is really about spiritual disciplines. It's about spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are intentional acts to follow Jesus Christ. It's willful, intentional acts to follow Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see how that comes into play for Paul and for these Ephesians and for us. And so I invite you now to follow along as we continue along with our study. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting at the 22nd verse. It says, "You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for this day, and we're thankful for this text of Scripture and this morning of worship. And so, Lord, now we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're our rock, and you're our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's this really great story of this rabbi that I want to start out with. His name's Rabbi Ativa. And he's from 2,000 years ago, just right after the time of Jesus Christ. And here's the story. He was walking down the street at night one day. He was coming from the city, going back to his house. It was dark. He was deep in thought. It was sort of foggy. And the story goes that he missed the road to his house. Right? He was just thinking about something else. It was dark. It was foggy. He missed the road to his house. And he ran straight into a Roman garrison at the end of the city. Well, at the garrison, the guard in the guard tower hears this person coming, and the guard, the sentinel, comes out and says these questions. He says, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" To which the rabbi says, "What did you say?" And the sentinel said, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" To which the rabbi says, "How much are they paying you?" And the sentinel says, "What?" And the rabbi says, "No, seriously, how much are they paying you?" And he says, "Well, I don't know, 2 denarii a week. To which the rabbi says, "I will pay you double if you come to my house every morning and ask me those 2 questions. We need someone. We need something to ask us on a regular basis the important questions of life, of who we are and who we are trying to be. Paul, in our text, in Ephesians, after the first 3 chapters where he's setting the stage, chapter 4, he's starting to move into asking the Ephesians those questions. Who are you and what are you doing here? And he does so in this passage today using this really awesome metaphor of clothing, of what we wear in our spiritual life. And so I want us to look at that for a little while. Let's go to the first verse that we heard. He says, "You were taught, Ephesians, to put away your former way of life, your old self." And we're going to see later on, he's really talking about this in kind of a clothing metaphor. Paul talks about this a lot in Scripture, that there's this old way of life and there's this new way of life. We heard this in Ephesians chapter 2, right? Before we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but God, in his mercy, made us alive in righteousness because of Christ Jesus, right? We were dead and now we're alive. Pentecost is the exact same thing, right? Here's these bumbling disciples. They've seen Jesus. They've walked with him. He's gone back up to heaven. They are in this upper room because he told them to, and they're probably scared. And what happens? But the Holy Spirit of God comes and infills them, infleshes them, and they go out and they preach the word of God, and the world is never the same. Old life, new life. Paul's here saying it again. You were once clothed with this old life. And let's look at some of those things that are part of this old life. And I've highlighted them here. Corruption, deluded by lust. And then he goes on. Falsehood, anger. By the way, this is interesting. There's holy anger and there's not holy anger. Do you know what holy anger is? Holy anger leads you to love. That's really what holy anger is. Holy anger leads to love. Think about Jesus turning over the tables in the temple, right? They were doing it in the Gentile section. They were taking up room there, selling them and selling others. And he says, no, there's got to be room. We've got to include these others. He pushes them over. That's holy anger. Anger, stealing, evil talk, bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling. I have no idea what wrangling is, but sort of a cowboy term. Slander and malice, right? This is your old self, Paul's saying. This is what you were like before you met Jesus Christ. This is what you were like before the Holy Spirit of God came to you. But here's the thing. And here's the thing for the Ephesians, and I think here's the thing for us. Why is Paul mentioning this? Why is Paul talking about what was before? Because I have a hunch that they kind of like to put on those old clothes once in a while. I have a hunch that they kind of like putting those old clothes on once in a while. Do you know why? Because we do too. We do too. I heard this story a while ago about this guy named Dale Albee. I'll put his picture up right here. This is his, he was a PE teacher in somewhere in Texas, Richardson, Texas. This is from 1973, his first year of teaching. Very hip outfit. This is funny. This was his yearbook picture. My kids are getting their yearbooks now. Maybe yours are too. What happened is the next year he got his yearbook, his second year of teaching, and he was horrified. He wore the same outfit 2 years in a row. He didn't even know it. He came home to his wife, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, what did I do? I wore the same outfit." And she said, "This is so funny. I bet you, I challenge you to wear it again next year." And guess what? 40 years later, we can see the picture. He's filling it out a little more at the end, but the same outfit every year. He must have been a hoot. I love it. We love to pull out our old clothes once in a while, right? Now here, of course, it's a joke. But friends, is it not the same for us? Paul says it's true. We know it's true. We put on our old self. And sometimes we want to put on our old self too, even though we know it's ill-fitting, even though we know it was old, and yet we do it. We do it. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you have ever done this? Even this week, has someone made you mad or angry or done something to hurt you? And what do we want to do? We want to hold on to it just for a little bit because it feels good to be mad, right? Or we could go through that list of lust or unforgiveness or anger that does not lead to love. And we know that it's not good for us. And yet, it feels good sometimes to put it back on, don't we? And yet what Paul is telling the Ephesians and what Paul is telling us, and I think he was telling them this and going through this litany because he knows how easy it is for them to put it back on, that those are not the clothes that we wear. Those are not the clothes of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. They do not lead to life, but they lead to death. And so then Paul goes into the next piece, and this is the good news. We'll go to the next part of the scripture. This is beautiful. He says, but we're told we were put off our old clothes, but now what do? We are renewed in the spirit of our minds, and we clothe ourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God. Clothe ourselves with the new self. Now, I want to stop there for a second, because this is a kind of a technical, theological conundrum that we're in, right? Maybe some of you read that, or at least I read that, and I say, oh, I'm supposed to clothe myself in this new self? Like, it's sort of up to me? Isn't it all up to God? Isn't God the one who clothes me and keeps me going in faith? There's this dichotomy in theology throughout the years. I'm going to put this next slide up. We have this sort of slippery slope that has appeared in the Christian church throughout the ages. The first one we might call moralism, right? And what would that mean? Is that my goodness makes me righteous, right? This is sort of what the Pharisees were saying. And this is what the church sometimes has said throughout the ages, that if I'm good, it makes me right. Yeah, I put on these new clothes because I'm the one who has the power to do that. I don't need God to help me with this. I do it, and therefore God will justify me in the end. But we know that that's not true. We know that that's not true. We know that we are lost. Paul just said it in Ephesians 2. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Not barely breathing, we're dead until God makes us alive in Jesus Christ. So we've got that on one side. But then there's the other side, and I think this is the one that maybe is more familiar to me and maybe more familiar to us. This is a $12 word that might have been in the spelling bee this weekend. Antinomianism, right? Anti means against, and nomos is the law. So in other words, against the law. And what does this mean? That God's righteousness makes me good. We all would say that. So why bother being good? Right? If God is the one who is completely in control of my spiritual growth and my spiritual life, then I can kind of do whatever I want, right? And sometimes we fall into that. We are so heavy and good on grace, and we should be. We should be. And yet, remember what Bonhoeffer says, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there's this thing called cheap grace, right? Grace without a cost. Grace that doesn't remember what Christ has done for us. Grace that doesn't remember that when Christ saved us, it costs us too. It costs us a life of sacrifice and giving our life over to him. And so both of those are a slippery slope. And yet here's the beauty of this passage. I think Paul solves this for us. Here's what he says. He says, we have this new set of clothes that God has made for us. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he has fitted it for us. And our job is to keep it on. Our job, our part of the equation is to not let the old self, the old set of clothes that we wear for the next 40 years, to come back on. But to put that away and to wear the new clothes of life that God has given us. Look back to the text. Look at some of the things he gives us to do. Very practical advice. The ways of life in the Spirit. Speak the truth. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't make room for the devil. Labor and work honestly. Clearly, there were some people in the Ephesian church that were still kind of patting their pockets with some stealing, right? These are Christians that are still kind of giving themselves over the old way of life. Make your words give grace. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. In other words, here's the equation that that I think we're hearing in this. Let's go to the next slide. That what is spiritual growth? It is the Holy Spirit plus our willful intentionality. The Holy Spirit plus our willful intentionality equals spiritual growth. If we want to keep our new clothes on, this is how we do it. If either one of those aren't there, if we try to do it on our own, without the Holy Spirit, we'll never get there. If we just say, I'm going to sit on the couch, Holy Spirit, and come feed me and grow me, it's not going to happen. We need them both. And so, friends, that's where this idea of spiritual disciplines come in. Spiritual disciplines, willful intentionality to follow Jesus Christ. What are some of those spiritual disciplines? Things like worship, things like community and fellowship, things like this table that we are going to celebrate, things like reading of the scriptures and spending time in prayer. Why do we do these things? We don't do it because God just calls us to do it and we don't get anything out of it. No, we are placing ourselves in a place of willful intentionality so that the Holy Spirit can grow us more into God's likeness, that we might be the imperfect saints that he wants us and desires us to be out in this world. And so, friends, here's my challenge for you, and this is my challenge for me, especially as we go into the summer, right? The summer is filled with time with family. It's time in Chelan. It's camping. It's fishing. It's doing all the great things that we get to do. Here's my challenge to you. When you are doing those things, do not lose the willful intentionality of your spiritual life. Find some spiritual practices. Read your scriptures. Go on a prayer walk in that beautiful place you're at. Do what it takes. Don't take the summer off, in other words. But the Holy Spirit plus your willful intentionality will make you grow even this summer. And then here's the other challenge. When you're home, don't let up. Come to worship. Be a part of your fellowship group. Be a part of service like Tijuana or Campbell Farm or down at the food bank or here in Sunday school as we serve our kids. VBS, be a part of it because when we do, when the Holy Spirit is combined with our willful intentionality, we grow. And guess what? Not only do we grow, but this world is blessed. Who are you? And what are you doing here? Friends, what we do in worship asks us those questions every single week. May we take those learnings out into this world to be the saints that he called us to be.